GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. During the GHRT Rewind this morning, listeners chiming in on our discussion of the yellow paper laws. We talked with State Senator Lisa Keim, the Republican of Oxford, yesterday, and one GHRT listener wrote to us, "To be totally honest, I think everyone should own a gun. People would think twice about doing things like this because there would be a lot of people there that could have stopped it unless you have a serious mental issue. Criminals will always find a way to get guns no matter what the law is, and that's why they are criminals." On the PD Cudor telephone line in Manchester this morning, George, welcome back to Bobby Reynolds. He worked with the Maine Gun Safety Coalition and supported and worked with lawmakers in crafting the yellow paper law. Bobby, welcome back to GHRT. How are you this morning?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you. It gets a little confusing. Now the legislature is ended its session. I remember that we dealt with a couple of LDs. It was 1312 was one. There was another one, 1811. I get lost in the numbers. But we ended up with a compromise, didn't we?
Essentially, yeah. LD 1312 was the original, the so-called red flag bill that was the original template that everybody worked off of. I was hired up as a government relations guy by the Maine Gun Safety Coalition, good group of folks run by Bill Harwood and Chuck Pickford. Of course, there are some other groups that are involved in this discussion around firearm safety and laws, you know, the Giffords group, you know, Moms Demand Action, Every Town for Gun Safety. I didn't work with those folks on this, but I worked with the main group. And I've been involved in these issues before. I worked on question three, which was the universal background check referendum that was rejected by voters back in 2016. So, you know, I've been down the road on this very emotional issue. One of the first things I did when I got involved is I picked up the phone and called David Trahan at the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. David and I have been on opposite sides many times on these issues, but I called him and said, "Hey, David, you know, we're going to butt heads here. Or maybe can we just talk about maybe trying to reach some sort of accord where we can move the ball ahead?" And to my delight and to his credit, David said, "Sure, let's work together." So we behind the scenes, I guess, essentially you would say, as this was all going on during the session, and of course, you guys have pointed out, making laws like making sausage. You don't want to really see how it's done. But a great deal of credit, praise should go to David Trahan and Jeff Bickford and Bill Harwood, Derek Langhauser from the governor's office, and obviously Senator Carpenter and Senator Keim. The bill went through the Judiciary Committee. Senator Carpenter is a senator from Aroostook County, former attorney general, I believe, in Maine. He's a combat veteran, Democrat, knows his way around firearms, knows his way around Maine's tradition around those things. Senator Lisa Keim from a rural part of the state, Republican, they stepped up and on one of the most emotional issues that is talked about in politics today. They could have easily just stayed in their own respective corners and nothing would have got done, but they showed bravery and came up with this compromise, and then we were able to, you know, get folks up to speed on it and got an overwhelming vote in both bodies, unanimous in the Senate. I think there was only 9 members of the House that voted against it. So when you had Senator Keim on yesterday, I just wanted to extend thanks to her and thanks to Senator Carpenter. And I think Maine once again has proven that we can lead on things. You know, when it would seem that one of the most bitterly partisan issues out there, guns and gun control and gun violence, it's emotional. People don't stand far from where they sit on issues, and usually nothing gets done because we're talking past each other and not to each other. Mainers have once again shown that you can do something and get something done even under the most difficult of circumstances. So,
Bobby Reynolds, our guest here, he's in Manchester this morning. You describe yourself as a firearms enthusiast and an avid hunter and a Navy veteran. You know firearms. And you're lending your work to the Maine Gun Safety
coalition, maybe you could explain to some listeners, there are still those that are concerned that if the yellow paper law goes too far, some using the term slippery slope, we could see an entity falsely stripping us of our Second Amendment rights.
Well, I mean, that's a concern, and that was the major opposition to the original red flag bill was what's called the ex parte portion, all right? A person could go to a judge, a relative of yours, Rick, could go to a judge without you knowing it and say, Rick Tyler's, I think, off his rocker, he's got guns, and I think he's a danger to somebody. The judge would issue, if that had become law, would issue an immediate ruling that, yep, this is a red flag situation, and the first time you'd know about it is when the authorities showed up at your house. There was even some discussion about whether a search warrant could be issued without any underlying crime, which would be a constitutional challenge, I believe. And that was a legitimate concern. The difference, and that's where most of the discussion was focused. What's different about what we did here in Maine is we took an existing statute that's been in place for years, the Protective Custody Statute. And again, Derek Langhauser deserves a lot of credit for this. He was the guy that really drilled down on this stuff. And we just added to it. And in that Protective Custody Statute, there is no ex parte portion. The situation we were standing there is if somebody thought you were struggling and had either some mental health challenges or just were in a bad place and were a threat to yourself or others, they would go to law enforcement. Law enforcement has been empowered for years by that protective custody statute to do a quick investigation. If they reach probable cause that you are indeed a threat to yourself or others, they would deliver you to a mental health care professional, not incarcerate you, not handcuff you, not take you away in chains or anything like that, and get an evaluation done. If that mental health care professional determined that it was such a crisis that you need to be institutionalized, a judge would issue, a magistrate would issue that order immediately. That's what's going on right now. That's the so-called blue paper, and you become a prohibited person. The gap in that law was if the mental health care professional determined that you didn't need, it wasn't so severe that you needed to be institutionalized, but you had court-mandated outpatient care, you were still struggling with something, people would return to their home and they were left with firearms and other dangerous weapons right at their fingertips. This new law, the yellow paper law, a yellow paper would be issued in that case, and your firearms would be, and other dangerous weapons would be turned over to the local law enforcement agency. And then that's done on the order of a magistrate immediately, so there's no ex parte portion of this. And then there's a hearing scheduled within 14 days where the magistrate determines, after hearing testimony both from the subject's lawyer and from the state and law enforcement, whether that prohibition of access to firearms needs to be continued for up to 365 days. So I guess with any law, somebody could falsely accuse me of doing a lot of things. The backstop on this one is that professionals are. If somebody falsely accused me of stealing a car, the police would come investigate, and they would find I didn't steal a car. I have no car. There's nothing here. So I believe the threat of being falsely charged with something is no greater or less than any other situation that we deal with in life. And again, the ex parte portion of the original red flag law is certainly what the Sportsman Alliance of Maine were troubled by, and they would have never been able to support passing anything if that were left in place. And again, this is about making laws, and it's tough. I mean, there's competing interests when you're going to make any kind of new legislation, and you know you can be an all or nothing type person, and you'll generally get one of those two things, and it's most often nothing. So we were able to move the ball ahead in this case, and I think, you know, the issue of gun safety and further laws is an issue that everybody's talking about. It's very, very complicated. Okay. Stuff that's way out of my wheelhouse, whether the social things or whatnot. But
so as it stands now, we're going to have the yellow paper law, and it takes effect when?
It takes effect September 19th. Okay. We're going to have an emergency proclamation, so 90 days.
90 days after the legislature. That's the new law. That's what we're going to be operating with.
And
that's right.
Quick question. Give us a quick answer. We think law enforcement is ready to handle what could be a spate of calls, people thinking, all right, I'm going, just like you said, you know, maybe someone thinks that I'm off my rocker. Law enforcement's got to be ready to handle these calls.
Well, you know, the interesting part I should have left is that the main chiefs of police were involved in this, as were other law enforcement agencies in the crafting of this law. What they say is they're already handling protective custody calls quite frequently, and they don't anticipate that there'll be an uptick at all in this. That this is just what was missing was when they were getting these protective custody calls, when somebody was mandated to have outpatient care, they still had access to dangerous weapons, and that was a problem. So according to the law enforcement professionals, they don't think that there's going to be a new spate of calls. It's just the same situation that they've been dealing with all along. And for instance, there are states like Florida has passed a version of the red flag bill, probably one that protects due process and ex parte, you know, it has a limited ex parte procedure in it. And I believe since it's been passed, Florida, which is much larger state than Maine, there's only been 7 cases where it's been used.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.